Welcome to Disrespect, exploring the stigma around disability, providing information and interviews to entertain and challenge listeners who care about, or care for, or may themselves have become someone with a disability. This week, Disrespect welcomes author,
educator,
dub poet,
international performer, and literary activist,
Clyde Brooks.
Good to be here, Jeff. Yeah.
We brought you in because of the new book that you've had published, and published recently. When did it hit the streets?
October 7th.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's called?
My Best Friend is White.
Now, you've taken some flack over this title?
Yeah, I'm still taking flack. I guess I'll be taking flack for a long time. But
is that white flack or black flack?
Flack from both sides.
Well, then you've hit the audience you want. You got both sides. But they're taking shots back at you.
Yeah, yeah.
What do people say who've heard you read the poems?
Well, basically, some comments like black people say, oh, you couldn't find a black best friend.
Even your family had a comment.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's my son that caused the book title anyway.
Yeah.
He gave me the poem.
Okay.
Because I'm always figuring out how they're color-coding us on TV and trying to point it out to the kids.
Yeah.
So my son just got tired of that because he says it ruins his TV viewing experience. So he just exploded one night and said, well, what kind of black power guy are you anyway and your best friend is white?
All right.
So that kind of rocked me back on my heel for a while. And so that ripple became the title of a book that I hope will become a star.
Good. Well, as you know, I feel that, the relationship of people with disabilities in our culture is analogous to race relations in our culture. And the same fight goes on for both groups of people, disenfranchised minorities, both of them.
Yeah, because color is framed as a disability in the way systemic racism carries out its operations on black people.
Tell us.
Well, I know lots of people of color who have their masters, whatever, you know, and they still can't get a job. You come from not having enough Canadian experience and not having enough qualification to be overqualified. You've gone to all the schooling to try and get up to speed,
yeah.
And then they tell you, sorry, you're overqualified.
Instant crossover.
Yeah. The instant crossover. I like that.
I noticed that there's a lot, despite the serious subject matter, that there's a lot of humor in the book as well.
Yeah, because humor is a part of life. What I think basically is special for me as a black person is we've been crying for 400 years, eh? Like, we hardly have any tears left. So it's time to laugh now. It's the really like the comedy of the tragedy type of laughter sometimes. A lot of it is satire.
Sly satire, too.
Yeah, you like it.
I do. Tell us what you're doing to promote the book.
The book is kind of promoting me, really. I'm going off to Ireland to launch the book in November.
What's happening there?
There's the launch of my book, and there's this Spirit of the Voice Festival. So I'm basically representing dub poetry at that festival.
So you're the worldwide representative of dub poetry?
Yeah, I'll be the only dub poet there. You have
lots
of different kind of voice thing.
Okay.
So I'm like the guy who is going to represent dub poetry.
And you're taking the book?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you intend to carry that further into CDs as well?
Yes, I intend to do several CDs out of the book. I might actually do a Best Friend is White CD too.
Okay.
What the hell? Let's go the whole way here.
How much of the book can you get on a CD?
Yeah, about 50 poems.
50 poems?
About that.
In the book?
Yeah.
So how many on a CD?
I am doing 10, so we're talking like 5 CDs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's, yeah, this book has a lot of shelf life in it.
Legs, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand you try to reach the academic market with this book as well.
Yeah, well, it is literature.
That's part of your plan.
Yeah, yeah. So I would like to give universities, you know, the option of choosing it. Because I think they will too, because it's one of those books that is the changing of an era. It signals a significant difference in discourse. As I was telling you before, this is a revolutionary title.
Yes.
So, yeah, it is creating a new trajectory of thought in terms of how we interrogate race relations in Canada. I will say this has some sort of historical significance.
Well, and by implication, how we relate to anyone else that we deem to be a minority or we deem to be disadvantaged, if we can recognize them as analogous to a different race, which isn't a problem in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Once having achieved that recognition, people will think differently about other groups as well.
Yeah, but
you're really leading the way.
You see, the key element in this title, especially, the very crux of the matter, is that if you analyze it a little further, you see that what I am proposing is to confront the spectacle of the other with the notion of the also. Because the white is the other, but this white is also my best friend. So you see, what I'm saying to people is really, there's no other.
There's only the also.
Right. There's a level where we are all just persons.
Yeah.
We have to be persons first before we can be anything else. Black, white, male, female, straight, gay, rich, poor, whatever religion or what have you. We have to be persons first. And so when you strip everything down to its essential unit, you get to the person.
Right.
So if I don't believe that you're superior to me, I don't see how you can be superior.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it is all a psychological thing. And this is also my message to black people. We should have enough intellectual, cultural, and artistic confidence to be able to say, my best friend is white. But I am not influenced by whiteness. I influence whiteness.
Right.
You see?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can be so strong to say that and be sure of it and be able to prove it, you know, in your life.
And the things that you do.
Right. And
the way
yeah. And that your friends can say, yeah, Clyde's not kidding.
Well, it is a revolutionary, and I wonder if you could have published this book if you lived in Mississippi or one of the southern states.
That is a whole new ball game that I hadn't even thought of.
So you've chosen to be Canadian.
13 years.
Yeah, and you have published this book in Canada, and the thought just occurs to me that this could be a very dangerous thing to say. In some parts of the world.
I know. It and people could react to it, you know, in a very aggressive. Now, there are two things I'd say to that. One is that, yeah, it is very significant that this title is coming out of Canada.
Right.
Especially as a dub title.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am saying that this book stands as strong as any Dread Beaten Blood from LKJ or Echo from Oku or Outcry from Muta Baruch or Rhythm and Hard Times from Lillian Allen. So this book is an authentic dub book, right? And this is the title that it has. And it is coming out of Canada. To me, that is saying that Canada now sees itself with enough confidence to be taking up a leadership role in the black diaspora. Because Canada has been kind of like seen as second tier in the whole black movement.
Well, the violence and the politics and the protest and the politics are all seen to be happening somewhere else. That's true.
Right. So what I am saying is that kind of this whole thing that the book is also talking about, sweeping things under the carpet and not wanting to rock the boat, and you know the Canadian way? That has created this type of revolution.
A quiet revolution.
Right. And we can argue with a lot of validity that this revolution is more fundamental than all the blood and thunder. Because after the blood and thunder, you have to have this.
That's true.
Or else there is still no revolution. So we're bypassing all that and just getting to the real meat of the matter. And that's what this book is trying to do. So, okay, let's come to the table and talk about this in a real Canadian way and prove to the world that it can be done, not only about Canadian race relations, but about North, South, East, West, capitalism and Islam, you know, all these binary situations can be worked out by coming with a new sense of discourse. That is revolutionary in the sense that it brings everything to the table, but it still seeks to resolve it all through rationality.
Okay.
Instead of just emotional responses.
Oh, yeah. Would you like to read the poem?
And I think the vibe is there tonight. My best friend is white. My best friend is white, and I am black. I am black, but my best friend is white. My best friend is white, but I am black, and racial realities bite when my white best friend reacts typically white to my colored insights about matters of equal rights. I wonder, is my best friend more white than best friend, less best friend than white? I don't know, maybe I don't know if my best friend considers me more black than friend, less friend than black. No stone unturned for honesty's sake. More lessons learned with each mistake. Good friendships may bend, but will not break. I know my friend is not a fake. My best friend is white. My best friend is white, and I am black. So what? I am not any less black because of that. I am black, and my best friend is white. But that's all right. In my best friend's face, I see what I know to be features of one human race, on which I rest my case. That is how I see dub. That's why I see dub has been a very important art form.
Mm-hmm.
Because the filter of dub, you pass all these vibes through the filter of dub, and what you get now is the stylistics, the artistry. So all this violence, and when it is processed by DOM, it comes out as a different package.
Yes.
Because instead of saying, let's go for the baseball bat or the gun, we say, let's see, what's the poem here? Let's go for the pen, let's go for the keyboard, let's go for the mic. And that creates a new paradigm. It's a new type of war, is the word war. And that is the one that the American war machine cannot win, because you don't need any warplanes and stuff to fight this. The weapons of mass liberation, you know, teeth and tongue.
Where can people enlist in this war and buy your book?
I'd say for sure you can get it from me, author's price. Contact me, kbrooks@porchlight.ca. KBROOX @porchlight.ca.
Where else can they get it if they want to buy it for a gift? And what does it cost, retail?
$15.99 in the stores, $20 from me, and you get it signed.
All right.
Yeah. I think Brian Prince might soon have some.
Okay.
You can look it up at Amazon.com. It's at Amazon too.
Good.
McGilliganBooks.com. Okay. McGilligan Books are the publishers.
Okay.
You can buy it straight off the site too. You can buy it from me. If you're in Hamilton, buy it from me and support your community poet.
Okay. Would you like to read another poem from the book?
Yeah, so I guess I do Reloading the Cannon.
All right.
So we're reloading the cannon, a cannon that spreads from Virgil to Tupac, you know. So much for deconstruction. Time now for reconstruction. We don't believe in bloody revolution. We have moved on from Fanon to Anon. Voices of decolonization. Reloading the cannon with homemade ammunition. Weapons of mass liberation. Weapons of mass liberation. Reloading the cannon with homemade ammunition. Weapons of mass liberation. Weapons of mass liberation. Beat of heart prepares the path. Flow of art from south to north. Songs of peace from west to east. Timeless quest to tame the beast. Shades of gray can pave the way. As a matter of fact, you don't have to be black to go where Shakespeare meets Tupac and they split a six-pack. Reloading the cannon with homemade ammunition. Weapons of mass liberation. Weapons of mass liberation. Transpol emotions dance across oceans. Translocated traditions, counter connotations, infiltrate imagination, shift the tide, worldwide word wars of representation. Voices of decolonization. Reloading the cannon with homemade ammunition. Weapons of mass liberation. Weapons of mass liberation. Reloading the cannon with homemade ammunition. Weapons of mass liberation. Tell the keepers of the gate, freedom won't wait.
Clyde, thank you for coming and reading for us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was fun.
And now, a few minutes with medical striker Brian Wood and his progress at Ross Memorial Hospital with multiple disabilities and his search for housing.
Well, we should welcome you back to the show, first of all.
Thank you very much.
And ask you how you've been and what's new. You had so many things going the last time we spoke to you, but you had your cancer seemed to be stabilized at any rate, yeah. And you're waiting for a diagnosis of the spots on your liver. And then your long-standing issue is housing for you.
That still is, and reached the point now where I think I might just go ahead and book into a motel for a month myself, I suppose.
Yeah.
Just to get out of this place.
Yeah.
It would be nice. So that's the big problem, is the housing business as usual.
Right.
And still no luck on that. I have heard from another patient here in the hospital who does live in subsidized housing not too far from here. In her building alone, there is 3 vacant one-bedroom apartments.
I see.
Subsidized and vacant for at least a month.
Right.
So I don't know whether to leave this business about the priority list or not.
Yeah.
Being abused women.
I contacted the leader's office, and they've contacted Lori Scott's office, and they haven't got a phone call back from Lori Scott's office.
I'm very surprised she hasn't answered her own leader's request.
Because maybe the MPP doesn't even know of the issue, right?
Well, I suppose that's possible, too.
Yeah.
It's possible, too.
Yeah, and if there's any move towards a resolution, the Lindsay Post is interested in the resolution.
Oh, of course, not the story, but the resolution to the story. Doesn't that make sense?
So, you haven't mentioned, but do you have some progress going on your end? Motion towards getting housing.
Nothing at this end for sure, except if I have to, I'll have to check out of here and check into a motel.
They're going to put the skids under you?
Well, it's either that or be transferred to Extendicare, which I don't particularly want to do. I mean, I'm getting subtle pressure from the social worker here. Mm. She was up here Friday before she went home saying, well, aren't there any friends here in town that you can move in with?
Right.
I said, I have lots of friends in town, but they don't have space to put somebody up.
Yeah.
Definitely or indefinitely.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not their problem. This is my problem. This is society's problem.
Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be some place out in this town of 17,000 that's got one level that I can navigate on.
Yeah.
It's just a case of finding the right contact.
Yeah.
But the attitude is, well, we're trying our best, but what are you doing?
Right.
Well, I'm going out almost every day. Now I'm running out of oxygen because of Medigas, so I won't be able to go out very much. And
so you don't have a you don't have a portable yet, do you?
Well, this is Medigas. It's their portable.
Oh, you do have a portable.
Yeah, well, I've got portable tanks. That's what I've been using all along, and now Medigas has cut them off.
So you're just using the oxygen you have left in them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then after that's gone. I'm stuck in my room.
And did the social worker say anything about that?
Oh, we'll be talking to them about that.
Oh, really?
I said, really? How soon? I'll be out of oxygen by Monday.
Oh, okay.
Except for what the hospital supplies, which they will not allow me to take off the premises.
Right. In tank form or even in gas form, you can't even fill your portable with that.
No.
Okay.
So then I'm going to be stuck here.
Yep. Can't look for housing.
Basically, I'm behind the eight ball again on another matter.
Mm-hmm.
Which will hold off me getting out of here as well if I can't go check out places to live. I mean, I'm not going to, pardon the pun, take these places unseen blind.
No.
So it's just not in the cards.
Yeah. Is there any outlook for the future that you wanted to share with a listener?
Well, I don't know. It's getting pretty depressing being in here all the time.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is boredom.
Yeah.
Even though I have a TV, I can't see the pictures on. I can hear it, but you can't really follow a lot of TV shows just by hearing them.
Okay.
You can follow stuff on PBS and the History Channel and Discovery pretty well without having to see the pictures. But
okay.
TV Ontario, too, they're very good like that.
All right.
But no, the problem with the accommodation is the big bugaboo right now. And actually, the point now, I hope to be off the oxygen list by the end of the week anyways because my breathing is improving.
Really?
My arterial blood gas tested it on Friday, came back much improved over what it was in July.
Wasn't that wonderful?
I've been able to cut down the oxygen to a degree, but I still would require it when going out simply because of the exertion factor.
Okay.
So.
All right.
So it's still a critical matter for me to have the portable stuff when I go out.
Well, I understand going out is extra exertion and is, you know, requires more oxygen and more energy.
I'm obviously more nervous about going out and getting into an accident because you can't, in my case, I can't see where I'm going.
Oh, yeah.
So your stress levels are up and your oxygen consumption is up because of that.
I see.
Anxiety. So as soon as we get the two problems straightened out, hopefully I'll do something about that.
Well, let's check with you next week about the metagas problem, see if that's resolved, and is a step towards approaching the housing problem more thoroughly, and see if any progress has been made on the housing problem, too. It's good to hear at least that things aren't getting worse. Maybe things will take an upturn, and we'll be able to celebrate some gains.
Keep our fingers crossed.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Take care now.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
You heard Memphis Slim and Slow Blues from Blues in the Mississippi Night. Disrespect asks you to send us your requests for topics about disability discrimination, and we will air those topics in our interviews. Send your suggestion to radio.stories@gmail.com. radio.stories@gmail.com. Disrespect's interviews are digitally edited from live telephone and studio interviews.